In Ephesians chapter 6 today, we'll be in verses 1 through 4, we find here the family life of the Spirit-filled believer. Our society today has broken down because the family unit has fallen apart. Because God designed marriage, one man for one woman in holy matrimony, and from that union they are to bear children and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when that happens, our families are blessed with a great promise that we will see momentarily. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you indeed are here. You are everywhere present and nowhere absent. You are omnipresent, omnipotent, and all-powerful. We thank you now that we have this joyous occasion to worship you in the house of prayer. And I pray that thy Holy Spirit will loose our hearts and minds to proclaim your word with power and liberty. And Lord, then as we worship you, I do pray that we will take this word and apply it in our family life and in the church life, and as we go forth from day to day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the foundation of society is the home. And when the home fails, society falls apart. And that's what we're seeing in America today. It's so sad, but it's true. And that is the root cause of all the ills of society. But when the husband and wife relationship is what it's supposed to be, then when the Lord blesses a man and his wife to have children, and then when they nurture those children in the admonition of the Lord, there's a great promise to be found in God's holy word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because this is the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. It is the duty of parents to rear their children and discipline their children, and it is the duty of children to obey their parents. And it is to begin from day one, from the day your children are born, and from infancy. Because if you wait too late, it gets harder and harder to implement discipline in the home. And so we find that children are to listen to their parents. Now, this is in the context of parents who love the Lord. It is in the context of a loving mother and a loving father who are God's children, who love the Lord, who love Jesus Christ, and who want to do what is right toward one another and toward their children. And so we find When that is the case, it is then in the Lord. But you remember, for example, when Peter and John were preaching the gospel in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, they told the Pharisees that it is better for us to obey God rather than to obey the commandments of men that are contrary to the commandments of God. And so when the Bible commands our children to obey their parents in the Lord, that means as long as the parent does not try to get their children to do anything contrary to the Word of God. As a child grows, and if they ever were asked to do something that would go against God's Word by a parent or any other adult, then they should go to someone that can help them and know that they're not supposed to do those things that would be contrary to God's holy Word. So it is to be done in the Lord. Just as the Apostle Peter said in Acts 5:29, that we should obey the Lord rather than men. But we find, you know, the book of Proverbs tells us a lot about rearing children. And the most famous proverb is Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6, where the wise man Solomon said this: train up a child in the way that he should go, then when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that is a general truth that would always tell us that most of the time when we educate, when we teach, when we train, and when we discipline our children in the nurture of the Lord, when they grow up, they will tend to stay with that teaching. Now that's not always true. Sometimes they stray away for a while and return. And in rare cases, some might even stray away and may never return in this life. But as a general rule, when we train up our children in the way they should go, they will not depart from it. Now, verse 2, the Apostle Paul is repeating one of the Ten Commandments. And it's the first of those Ten Commandments that has a wonderful promise that goes with it. It is this: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, what does it mean to honor our fathers and mothers? The word honor means to highly value, to highly value. That we esteem them greatly, that we value them greatly, and with great respect and reverence. We value them, we love them, we want to honor them. And when we honor our mother and father, the promise is this: that it might be well with us and that we may live long on the earth. Now, that's not necessarily a promise that we're going to live to be 90 or 100 years old, but rather it is a promise that we will live in peace and we will be blessed. But we might live longer, if God wills. Things will go well with us when we honor our father and mother. And if that happened, in every home in society, then our whole entire society would be doing well. What a wonderful place it would be if that were the case. But you remember that God gave that commandment to Moses first in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 when he said, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives to thee. But then 40 years later, he repeats that promise in Deuteronomy 5 and 16. And he put it this way, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He promised that things would go well with the children of Israel when they entered the promised land if they would honor their mothers and their fathers. And I would also say that can also include honoring the legacy of our forefathers, our parents and our grandparents, those who came before us and who were faithful unto the Lord. And so as we do that, we find that there are great blessings to be had in God's house. Now, there are mutual responsibilities between parents and children, just as there are mutual responsibilities between the husband and his wife. For we find in verse number 4 where he says, and you fathers, and I would also say that he would include the mothers as well, don't provoke your children to run thinking clearly. And don't provoke them in such a way that would discourage them in the way. And so, yes, first of all, the father has the ultimate responsibility when it comes to training their children and disciplining their children. Now, I'll be the first to admit that I tend to be more soft than my wife is, and my wife tends to be more strict than me, and that's a balance between us. Some marriages are different, but it is the ultimate responsibility of the father, as God's word teaches. But we are to bring of the Lord. And that word nurture means to train, to teach, to educate, and to discipline. Training. When we read in Proverbs, train up a child, that word training is a military term. When you're training soldiers in an army that are going to go out to battle, yes, it is hard, but it is to be done in love. It is to be done in love. There are other proverbs that tell us this about training a child and correcting them. Proverbs 22 and 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him or her. The rod of correction. Now, here are two others. Here is one that sounds funny on its face. Proverbs 23 and verse 13 says this, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beat him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, that's not talking about child abuse, but it's talking about godly discipline. If you discipline your child in the way it should be done, they're not going to die. Rather, they're going to live and do well. One more says this, Proverbs 29 and 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom to a child. But a child that is left to himself, a child that is left to his own devices, brings his mother to shame and his father to shame. Too often we see it in society. When you go to the grocery store, to the mall even, you might see a child just going wild and doing whatever they want to do, and their parent is not trying to correct them at all. And the Bible also says in Proverbs that they who fail to discipline their children actually hate their child. Now that is an eye-opening statement. If we love our children, we will discipline our children. Now, what is the application of this lesson today? Here is the application, and it is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, Paul here says, and we believe Paul was the writer of Hebrews, but God is the divine author. He says, and you have forgotten, Hebrews chapter 12, 5, you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as unto children, saying, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And why shouldn't we not despise the discipline of the Lord in our own life? For he says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. He disciplines us because we are his children and because he loves us so very much. He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons and or daughters. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? It is implied that the father and mother will discipline their children, just like God disciplines you and me. If we were to be without chastening or discipline, he says that then we would be bastards and not sons. We would not even be the legitimate children of God. And then in verses 9 and 10, he compares the discipline of our earthly parents to that of God's discipline upon you and me. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers, and I would add mothers, in our flesh, who corrected us, and we gave them reverence, honor, respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Notice the word there, subjection. Do you remember? The key to living the Christian life is subjection. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the key, submission, one toward another. And when we do that, we live, and it will be well with us. He goes on in Hebrews 12:10. For they, that is our earthly parents, truly for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure or according to their own understanding of God's Word. But the Lord also does it for our profit, that is, for our benefit. Chastening, discipline, is for our benefit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, Jesus Christ has made us holy in the shedding of His blood on the cross. But we realize that we're still in a sinful body today, and we still sin from time to time. Whether we be children under our parents, or whether we be grown-ups and we disobey the Lord, we still sin. But yet we're thankful that we have a God who forgives our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, some would say, I would rather not be corrected. I would rather not be disciplined. Well, to answer those, the writer says in Hebrews 12:11, now, no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous. Oh, I'll just do what I want to do, because that makes me happy. But as time goes on, is that joy short-lived? It will turn to grief. You'll get in trouble. Nevertheless, afterward, when we are disciplined, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it. Peaceable fruit. We will live in peace, and things will be well with us. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have trials and tribulations, but it does mean that we will have the peace of God and taught the right way to go. And when we do that which is right, and then when others see us doing that which is right, the lame will be turned out of their way and will be healed. And then he says, follow peace with all men. And I believe he's talking about there doing justly toward all men. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. And holiness. Follow after holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And we are to look diligently toward God, lest any of us fail or come short of God's grace in our life, or lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble us, and we be defiled. And so we find once again today, the family life of the Spirit-filled believer teaches us submission to God, husbands and wives submitting one toward another, children to their parents, and yes, even parents to their children, that things might be well with us, that we might live a peaceable life in God's kingdom. And when we do these things, things will go well with us, and we will be blessed by the Lord. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.